This is the Roaring Elephant Podcast, and I have sad, sad news because my co-host has just informed me that the level of quality that you enjoy from us today is about as good as they're going to get. Because in his words, if it doesn't get any better after 9 years, New Year's to next calendar year isn't going to change much either.
Pretty much. And like, honestly, expecting a change after over 9 years, just seems like the definition of insanity. So,
I think doing this for 9 years is pure insanity, but...
I mean, that could also be... Both of these things could be true at the same time.
Then I'm sad and disappointed at the same time, too. But look backwards. Let's not look backwards. This is a continuation of our episode from last year. It's a long time ago. 7 days, to be exact. And we still had more predictions. So we have more predictions, specifically around AI, because that's everything and anything people talk about these days. And looking at our little list, we actually made some homework for this one. Mine have been pretty much exhausted almost. So, Dave, why don't you go first with all of the precious, kind, good things that will happen with the world under the governance of our AI overlords?
Well, the first one, I think, probably is already happening in a lot of cases. There's still a few occurrences of this kind of strangeness happening. But my next prediction is that we're just going to see fewer feet as hands, or hands with 12 fingers or 2 fingers or other weird finger-related strangeness that seems to creep into AI-generated images. It has already got a lot better last year, and I think this year is probably the year that AI will figure out that's what a hand looks like, he says, waving at the camera. Maybe AI has just been trained on that. You never know.
Well, it's kind of funny because in natural languages as well, if people are learning new languages, the word for toe is always a very hard one to remember. And quite often, foot fingers are used as a... That's actually true. So maybe AI is just evolving like everybody else. But I don't share your optimism. I think we have to take this think out of the box and just start doing genetic manipulation and swapping actual people's feet with hands and vice versa. That will actually go faster, I think.
Right. Okay, so we should start, growing extra finger digits on some people, trimming finger digits off of other people, transplanting feet to hands and hand to feet for other people. Just kind of mix it up.
Hey, it's already common knowledge that AI is always right. So if AI says feet on arms, then reality must be wrong.
Right. Okay, well... Moving on from that one, this next one, I think, is, I'm not quite sure about this one, but my next one was that searching for real information will get worse or harder. And, in the news, I think just this week, maybe last week, probably many weeks ago when you're listening to this, time is weird, and so is recording schedule. Reddit made an announcement that because so many people were going to Google and searching for whatever it was they wanted to search for, and then adding Reddit as a search term, because they want to actually find messages from real users and real people rather than AI-generated slop, that... Reddit is now releasing a service so that people can just go straight to Reddit to ask questions or to get answers for questions and cut out the middleman of Google, which I think is like a great idea in principle, but so many people just go straight to Google. That's going to be a very, very, very difficult habit to break. Anyway, my prediction on information, searching for real and accurate information is going to get worse or harder. I think, you know, the combination of search engines introducing kind of AI-generated chunks of text at the start, which is like usually a summary of, you know, the corpus of knowledge as it knows it, to respond to your question. Then come the advertising, and then all the way towards the bottom come the actual search results. The AI summaries, I think, have got better quite quickly. So maybe it's a wash. I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts are on this one.
My first thought is I should have muted my phone. So let's just do this right now. And my second thought is I think it's as good now as it's ever going to be. Because, I mean, you said a couple of things. I'm going to try not to forget to reply to a single one there, which I probably will fail at. But yes, the auto-generated, ChatGPT-driven, Gemini-driven summaries on top of search results have gotten better, which means people are starting to use them, read them, which next step is the incentivization of the functionality. So yes, from now on, in the future, in the very near future, you will see the summarization. But before that, a couple of ads and stuff like that. So the moment something becomes useful, it needs to be monetized, and this will happen on these things as well. So while they're pretty good at the moment, I think this is going to go downhill now, because a lot of people now just read the summary and don't go further down anymore where the sponsor tags are. And people paying for those sponsor spots aren't happy. So they can either move the summarization below the sponsor stuff, which would be feasible but unpractical, or just fill this summarization stuff with the advertising promotion material that they want to ingest anyway. Now, that's not going to be a big problem, because as a lot of the internet content is currently generated by AIs, and dear listeners may not know this yet, but Dave and I are AIs since a couple of years now. But searching being easy or hard isn't going to matter much anymore, because whatever you find is going to be garbage anyway. And that's why I think that a move by Reddit is not bad. Okay, not good or bad, let's not go there, but it's very interesting and might actually be the first steps towards breaking search monopolies. Google search works because, well, it used to work because it found everything from everywhere. Now, you could say Reddit has everything from everywhere, or at least links to everything. You could say that Redis is a search engine. There's a lot of just talk on there as well, but somebody asks a question and somebody posts links to things where the answers are. So to be honest, Redis actually has a pretty good database that they could use as a backend for a search engine. Now, the next step they should do, being evil here, is just say, Google, you're not allowed to index this anymore. Redis has a lot of users, a lot of users. And if Redis does this, then maybe a TikTok and Twitter and whatever will also become their own search engines, because making a search engine has become a lot easier these days. And this would fragment the entire search ecosystem, which is a bad thing, but also a good thing, because without fragmentation, you can't have competition. So yeah. I'm actually very interested, because Redis is really doing this seriously. This is not just something they were doing because we can. No, they're looking at profitability, at making money on the stuff they built, and you can be against or for that. Let's not discuss that at this moment. But they have a vested interest of actually trying to become the de facto search engine for their demographic, their part of the internet. And yeah, I think they have the technology and the data set to potentially succeed there. Because I already know a lot of people that go to Reddit for information. That's just their go-to part, because as I mentioned earlier, a lot of the internet content is AI written. Stuff in Redis is either very obvious, but is still human provided information and not corporate human provided information. And that's the last thing I want to reply on the thing that you were saying. Start talking smaller parts so I don't have to do a big thing like this. but finding real information via Google is going to be perfectly possible. But it's not going to be real information, it's going to be real speak. And that's a reference to 1984. And if you don't know the reference, go read the book. Yeah, talking to the people in the audience that might not.
Yeah. I'm a Reddit user myself. There are a handful of sort of communities that I am active in. And I think you could be onto something here. I still think they're going to have a huge uphill battle to just kind of break the let's face it, monopoly that Google has on search. And I don't necessarily mean that in the traditional kind of sense of monopolies commission and all that sort of thing. I mean, I just in the, like when people search for something, they literally just call it when they search for something on the internet, they just call it Googling. Like it's so it's not even about the fact that, you know, it's the default search engine on people's browsers and all that sort of thing. It's ingrained in people's brains that Google is how they find things.
But that also goes against the grain because everybody uses Kleenex. But do they actually buy the brand Kleenex? No, it's just a word to mean tissue these days. So that actually worked in the past, but these days, because it's become, when you Google something, you're not thinking about, I'm going to use the company Google, I'm going to use the product that the company Google.
No,
it's just
true.
Searching. So while you're right for the promotional marketing part, but I think people are actually starting to see through it. Not because they've gotten smarter or anything like that, because people are still as dumb as we've always been. But we've gotten used to such an avalanche of promotional advertising that we have learned to automatically not look at it anymore. It's a bit like when you're driving your car, you're not looking at, oh, nice tree, oh, nice house, oh, this, oh, that. No, you totally phase out that stuff to concentrate on the road. You do this without thinking about it because you're used to it. When you're just starting to drive, I still remember that. I have good memory on the things that were very bad experiences. That was very hard for me because I'm the kind of person that wants to not miss anything. And I had a very hard time learning to drive because I drove at 5 kilometers per hour because I wanted to see everything to make sure I wasn't driving over anybody. And you have to kind of learn that mental muscle memory to phase things out that are not important. And I think we've reached a point where advertising actually doesn't work anymore because people know when you look at a website, they automatically kind of fade out all that stuff. And Googling, in my opinion, could be wrong, doesn't really have that powerful, magical, it's Google thing, because the reputation of Google also has had suffered some hits over time. So, and speed-wise, I mean, how long did it take for Google to usurp Yahoo completely? I mean, if you said in the days that Yahoo was the search engine, and the new up and coming Google came, everybody said, oh, it's never going to happen. People are going to stay with Yahoo because they're used to it. It took, what, a year?
Probably, yeah.
So, and again, Bing will never replace Google. Why? Because Bing does the same thing. And if I choose between the two things, which will do the same thing, with minor differences, well, I'll take the one that I'm used to using. But what Redis is doing here is going to be something different. If they do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well. We will see. We will see.
That's Dave saying yeah while he's actually thinking, nope, don't buying it.
No, I think it's possible. I think it will be very, very interesting to see how this develops. Yeah.
I kind of hope they go for it or something like this happens because we've been stagnating in this whole knowledge retrieval paradigm. That's a new sentence I just invented. And it should get better because Google actually sucks. I only use Google these days if I actually want to shop for something. If for me at the moment, it's nothing more than a generic shopping front end that makes me not have to go to Amazon and Bol and all of the other shops out there. I can just do it on Google. But for anything that's not shopping related, I don't really use Google anymore.
Well, there we go. All right, so we've had a couple of my predictions. What's one of yours?
Okay, we're going to the end of mine. So the definitiveness of them is getting less and less. But I wouldn't be surprised if at least one big AI company goes under, because they keep over-promising and under-delivering. And people at some point, okay, I just mentioned earlier, people are still not smart, but we do at some point no longer believe the lies. And I have no idea if it's OpenAI or Google or Anthropic or whoever is going to go under, but I do think we will see a more of a centralization of these services. Monopolies will probably arise if they aren't there already. But at the moment, a lot of small players are still starting to do their stuff as well. There's no really a one size fits all. I think in the next year, we'll see some, what's the word I'm looking for? Big companies.
Consolidation.
Consolidation, thank you. Of offers around AI. And the hope I have is that the ones that actually deliver what they promise will win. The cynic in me, not that confident, because probably the ones that promise the golden mountains will still get the eyeballs.
Yeah, I don't know whether it will happen. I think we will definitely see we'll definitely see some organizations that don't make it. The thing I don't know is whether we'll see any one of the big ones. I'm not sure if we've reached that point yet, and whether it might just take a little bit longer for one of the big ones to actually, yeah, not necessarily fail, but yeah, as you say, like get consulted, get acquired, merge, whatever.
Or just throw the towel in the ring and says, I quit this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think we will definitely see some of the smaller ones, like one or two of the smaller, like earlier stage folks that just don't manage to get that sort of escape velocity, run out of money, and just, you know, fade away in the background. I think we'll definitely see that. But I don't know if we'll see one of the big ones go. That will be interesting.
I'm actually rooting for the small ones, because they are hopefully seeing how bad the marketing is at the moment, and they won't fall for the trap of over promising but actually delivering smaller scale stuff that actually, I was going to say works, but I'm going to say delivers what's on the tin, and that way gain the confidence and trust of the public out there, and that's how they survive while the big ones just keep promising. Because I have a feeling that a lot of these AI companies are marketing their wares to individuals and companies in the same way, and that has always been different in the past. If you look at take Microsoft, biggest company in the world probably, if not one of the biggest, their marketing programs towards other companies and towards the end user are completely different. They do not sell Windows to you and me the way they sell it to the tax office on a big company. If you look at AI, I don't see the differentiation. And I think that's wrong. And I think that's why people don't really, I believe is not the word I'm looking for, but don't take it seriously in a way that this is something that I will need to survive next year. It's all gimmicky. I'm hoping the smaller ones are gonna not go there.
Fair enough. Okay.
Your next one.
All right. Well, we're on to my last one, which is, I think that this is probably the year that AI will be responsible for I was going to say AI will be responsible for a major security breach, but what I actually mean about it, because AI is not responsible for anything, really, but it's the people that implement an AI-driven solution will fundamentally miss, you know, some of the control or some of the checks and balances that should have been put in place that probably would have just naturally been put in place with a more traditional system. It would just have been something that's built in. But, you know, some sort of AI-driven tool, platform, technology will be responsible for a major security, a major data breach, a major failing in some way, shape, or form of that nature.
Yeah, I had a chuckle there because I was remembering we did an episode once about company slogans and core value things. So I was thinking, what if a company has an AI that does all of their internal whatevers and then tells the AI, update our corporate values, so that the AI sees, we're supposed to be this, and then start acting that way. That would be a rude awakening for a lot of companies. That would be a 12 monkeys kind of world to wake up to.
Yeah, there you go.
But don't underestimate AI, because I don't know which AI model it was that was recently in the news that they were kind of publishing the way the AI was doing the reasoning behind the scenes, stuff they don't really show us.
I think that was Claude.
It was Claude or Gemini. I don't know which one it was.
I think it was Claude.
It doesn't matter, because you could see the thing reasoning, I shouldn't tell them what I'm doing here, but I'm going to try. So that it's actually already being subversive. No, I do think that was a little bit of hyperbole or just cherry-picking good things, because it would appear, if you believe this at face value, that these AIs are actually self-aware, which they're not. But that's the thing with neural networks. It's a black box. You don't know how it's actually working, because we intentionally don't want to know how they're working. So who knows?
I particularly liked during that, I don't know whether you saw this as well, but there was a part where during the reasoning, I think the model was effectively saying something along the lines of, what sort of idiot would ask this kind of question? Oh, well, I suppose I'd better give them an answer to it. Really, what a moron. And that stuff they deliberately kind of filter out for obvious reasons.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I'm having a hard time believing that it's actually true. On the other hand, why would they publish it if it wasn't true? Because it's not actually making people trust AI more, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that in the next year we might get more insights in the morality or amorality of AI models and the people using them. And breaches is just going to be one little thing. I mean, we all remember the amazing movie with Matthew Broderick, War Games, which is basically an AI playing a game.
Would you like to play a game? Yeah. How about tic-tac-toe or global thermonuclear war? That's the one.
I'm afraid I can't do that, Dave.
Movie,
right, I got one last one.
Yep.
And it's the last one, because I actually don't think it's going to happen, but it would be kind of cool if it did. And it's predicting that Google will be forced to split up, sell Chrome, and since they no longer can crawl all the data on the internet, they will start making even worse AI. Now, making even worse AI isn't really the prediction there, but just having a world where Chrome, the search and the tool is no longer in the same company. But we already kind of talked about all this with your Redis thingy, so we don't have to spend a lot of time on it. But if Redis does its thing and Google gets split up in a way that they have to either sell the advertising or Chrome or the search index, that would be a really new kind of world.
Yeah. I mean, I think when we initially talked about this, but before we started recording, we were like, I was kind of hearkening back to the very early Microsoft monopoly sort of conversations, and they're going to have, you know, when back in the day they were going to be forced to, you know, split off the Office part of the business and the operating system part of the business, and so on and so forth. And yes, they made a handful of relatively minor, I think it's fair to say, concessions, and, you know, managed to completely avoid any of that drama or trauma. I don't know whether Google will manage to do the same kind of thing. I suspect that they will, just because of the money that's involved. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know about this one.
I think there's correlations, but it's definitely not the same thing, because the monopoly that Google has today is in a different place, and in that place a lot bigger than Microsoft ever had. And I think people underestimate the effect that had on Microsoft, because yes, in actual practical changes at the moment itself, they put a choice screen to choose your browser, things like that, which works beautifully, because now everybody uses Chrome. So destroying a monopoly is the way to do this, guys. That's really working well. But just think, if that hadn't happened, if that threat of split whatever hadn't happened, do you think Microsoft would have partnered with OpenAI or just bought the company OpenAI? They would very much have bought the thing. And I worked at Microsoft, so I've been inside a while, and the real core belief was buying companies, okay, small things, little IP technology thingies, yeah, sure, we can make more, but cool. But making very big mergers was no longer in what they wanted to do, because if you do this, we get too big again. We might get hit by that antitrust thing again. And Microsoft totally revised their business strategy towards partnering with other companies, the way they did with LinkedIn at first, and then they had to buy LinkedIn because it was going to go under if it didn't, basically. But with OpenAI, it was a healthy company. They just decided, no, we're going to give you a bunch of money, but it's you. They're very clear that it's two different things. Don't think it's the same company. No, we're not big. We're not monopolistic. No, it's totally different. And that's the most recent one. But over time, that has really affected how Microsoft does business. And I think for the better, both of us and Microsoft. Because the way that Microsoft is now working with partners all around the world, both technology, consulting, and that kind of stuff, is, in my opinion, unrivaled. And that's, sure, the cloud is making them very big and very lucrative, but the whole business approach towards partnering is also a big part of that, in my opinion. So I do think it had a big effect. And even if Google isn't forced to actually split stuff up, which I think they will actually have to do something, because they're way too big in the advertising space at the moment. It's just a problem. But it will also in the future make them do their business differently. And that would also be a good thing, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know on this one.
That's why it's called predictions, Dave.
Yeah. I just don't know how likely I think it is. But I do think it's going to be, like, either way, whichever way this goes, it will be interesting to see this play out. Because I don't, whether it actually ends up happening or not is one thing. I do think that this is something that will definitely be newsworthy, and there definitely will be some twists and turns, and this whole thing will get a lot of airtime this year.
Yeah, this year. But it will never be finalized this year, because this is gonna, if it happens, it's gonna drag out for years, for a decade maybe.
Yeah. Well, there we go.
So we'll be back when we have further news on this development.
Well, actually, we'll be back next week. So unless there's anything else from you.
Nope. Crystal ball has shattered. We'll try again next year.
404 crystal ball not found. Well, that is all the time we have for today and all the crystal balls we have for today. You can support this podcast by becoming a Patreon. Every contribution really does help. We are on YouTube. You can like and subscribe and comment and hit the notification bell and do all the YouTube things. You can also go to roaringelephant.org for a link to our Patreon page and for more information about the podcast. And please do send any feedback you have to podcast@roaringelephant.org. Until next time, my name is No More Future Gazing Dave.
And my name is Do We Still Have a Future? Yep.
Wow, that's bleak. And we look forward to talking to you next week.
Goodbye.
See you then.
Every 1 week in the new year, we've had a good run.